So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this portion of Scripture that we get an opportunity to be in. Lord, what a pleasure it is to open your word and to find out what you have to say to us, Lord, to be better introduced to this man named Peter. Lord, to learn from his story, to learn from his mistakes, Lord, to learn from his learning. Thank you, Father, so much that you are here with us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is amongst us. Father, please help us to be very aware of your presence with us. Lord, help us to listen to what you have to say, to seek you in all of our understanding, Lord. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing on our ears and on my mouth, Lord, that I would say those things that only you want to be said, that I'd be sensitive to your voice, Lord, and to that we might be changed people because we have been in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for this privilege again to be here tonight. And Father, we do pray for the Wicks family, Myrna and Zach and Kylie, Lord, as they deal with the death of dad and husband, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would comfort them, that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you'd give them that firm foundation to stand on, which is in our study today. But Lord, also that you would provide for their financial needs, Lord. You know how much, you know all about that. And we pray, God, that you would meet their needs for what they need. Lord, thank you for being with them. And we do pray for our country, Lord. We pray, God, that you would make our leaders to be men of a confidence in you, Lord, that they would come to know you as their personal Savior. At the end of the day, that really is all that matters. And I thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. And we're just so thankful to be a part of your family, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we are in chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter. And the thing about chapter 5 particularly, but this whole letter, is that we get to learn from Peter's mistakes. I love that Peter was a teachable man. Do you know, we wouldn't have this stuff to draw from if he had not been a teachable person. If he had just gone along with everything that he wanted to do and didn't listen to anyone else, didn't listen to the Lord, didn't listen to his friends, didn't listen to those who encouraged him, we would not have this to look at. But because he did, we have certain verses in here tonight that we can look at and we can say, okay, that's the way to go, because the other way we know doesn't work. And Peter lets us know that. And we start out with verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Now, we're talking about the elders. I know we are talking about leaders. We are all leaders of somebody. We will all be leaders of somebody, and we need to pay attention to this. And one of the reasons that we're going over this particular portion of Scripture is because, even as leaders, it is important to me that you go home tonight with something that you can use today. Because if I haven't given you something in Scripture that you can take home and use today, then I have failed in what I have shared with you. And so I want to be very careful that we all know that there is something in this whole chapter that pertains to me, to each one of us. And so we are all leaders. And he says, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, he says that he was a witness to the sufferings of Christ. But where was he when Christ was really suffering. I'm telling you, we don't have a recording of where he was. We don't have anything written down, but I would say that Peter was probably an area afar off where he could still see. He still knew what was going on. He was there. He says he was a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. One of the things that he teaches us in this very first verse is don't follow Christ from afar off. Stand with him. And so he had learned from that. And it says that he also was a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. The glory that is to be revealed. Now, we know that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that he was there at the Ascension. We know about this. But what happened at the Mount of Transfiguration? Instead of looking at Christ and saying, wow, this is what it's going to be like to be with you, what did he say? Okay, I better do something myself, and I better start building buildings, and I better start building things now so that other people can come here. We learn from that. When you see the glory of the Lord, which came to me today, Lord, as I was thinking about this, you know, you couldn't see the face. You remember Moses said, show me your glory? Peter saw the glory of the Lord. And he saw the glory that would be revealed to us. He said, I've seen that. I'm a partaker of that glory that will be revealed. I'm a partaker of that. And so we move on, and to the shepherd, the flock of God, which is among you. He says, shepherd, the flock of God, which is among you. Who is your flock? You've got a little flock. Every one of you have got a little flock that you can shepherd. They may not be little children. They may be a neighbor. They may be someone that you work with. They may be someone you always go to that checkout at the grocery store. Just so that you can be a witness to that person. You are shepherding them. You are drawing them into wanting what you have. And so it goes on to say, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving. Serving. Serving is the word that's used here. Serving as one that watches over. We are to serve one another. Serve one another. And serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Anybody ever been put in a leadership place by compulsion? Somebody said, you will do this. Anybody? Anybody in here? I know Lisa was one of those people. Those of you who don't know, Lisa Brubaker there is the one who writes our homework. And I remember talking to her about, how about if you write the homework? And, we had a lot of conversation about it, and I think she probably felt compulsion to do it, but here's what she did. She did it willingly. She had that compulsion to do it because she was kind of forced into that first step, but once she got in that first step, she did it willingly, and she continues to do it willingly, and God has blessed it and used her and will continue to use her as we go. Actually, at the When Leaders Lead, we're going to have our Bible study books are going to be available to other people who maybe want to buy these books and be partakers of the wonderful talents that these ladies have. She doesn't work alone. She writes the stuff, and then she has a number of ladies who edit it, and they're all amongst us as well, and we are so thankful that she does it willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not just for what you can get out of this, not serving just for what you can get from it, but serving in a way that you are eager to do that, not as being lords over those who have entrusted, who have been entrusted to you. We have no need to lord over, to be those. Do you know who I am? Yes. Mm-hmm. I do know who you are, and I ain't impressed. You know, to the ones that are entrusted to us, entrusted to us. Remember when we talked about submission being entrusting our lives to someone else? Someone else is entrusting their life into your life. They are wanting what you have. And so entrusting to you, but being an example to the flock. We are to be examples to the flock. We are to be examples. And I take this very seriously. When I am teaching, I love teaching you. I love teaching the Word of God. I love to look out there and see your faces and see something that just goes, oh, see somebody just, oh, they catch it. Just at that point, they catch it. I want you to also know that I see when your eyes are closed. I'm just saying, you know. But being an example so that someone can look at me and say, I want what she does. If I do what she does, well, can I be where she's at? You know, or not just me, but you guys as well. You know, when people see the peace that you have in the midst of chaos, when they see how you handle things that are just not as they should be, they want what you have, just like my dad did with my stepmom when he came to the Lord. And when the chief shepherd appears, when he comes, and ladies, let me tell you, he is here a lot sooner than we think. Are you watching? Are you watching? You're listening to the news. I know you are. You're hearing bits and pieces of it. And sometimes our first response is to, I can't believe that's going on. What's going to happen next? Well, what if? Well, what if? You know? Going to be with the Lord. He is coming for his church. And I don't know how you believe on the rapture. I just know I'm going out with the first bunch. So, if you want to do pre-trib, if you want to be mid-trib, I'm going out before you. And if you want to do post-trib, well, you know, check it out. I'm not saying that this is the way that God knows. I just know whenever he comes, I'm going. And I hope you guys are going at the same time. No matter what we believe, we're all going to go when the time comes and he comes to get us. So when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory. A crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, I don't know how many of you are on Instagram. If you are on Instagram, you know that my husband loves Instagram. And he's taking pictures all the time, and he even has this video now that is Sam, what is it? Somebody who knows. Sam Wise ham cheese, Bill Wise ham cheese. Yes, and he does this whole video thing. But on this particular day, let's get back to the study, bring it all back. We were at over here at Adams Avenue Coffee, and good place for coffee. But when we went over there, they had this crown there that looked like it was all diamonds, and it was really, really beautiful. And I mentioned his Instagram because he immediately put it on my head and he took a picture of it, you know. But it was a beautiful crown, but it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable because I didn't work for it. It didn't belong to me. And it was in an inappropriate place. Because it says, just like with Revelation 14, as the 24 elders threw their crown before God, threw their crowns at the feet of Jesus, that's where my crown belongs, at the feet of Jesus. He's going to give us a crown that does not fade away. All this stuff that you see, it's nothing. It's all, we used to say back in the old days, back in the old days, we used to say, it's all going to burn. It's all going down. So trust in something that's lasting. So we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give him our lives completely. Likewise, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, which includes all of us, because submit yourselves to your elders, because all of you be submissive to one another. So that's why the younger and the older, whoever you submit to, you're also submitting to everybody. So it doesn't really matter if you're young or you're old. Just pay attention and take care of us old people, okay? But all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Because God resists the proud. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, did you get a picture of that? I never want God to do that to me. Resisting the proud. Can you picture it? I don't even want to picture it. The hands of Jesus going, no, I resist you because of your pride. Wow, what a sad day that would be to see him doing, no, I'm going to resist you. But he gives God's riches at Christ's expense to the humble. What is humility? That humbleness is a recognizing, having a consciousness of our defects, of our shortcomings. We are unpretentious. That's what humble is. That's what humility is. We recognize that we don't have it all together. How long did it take us to recognize that? Right now. Every second I recognize that I don't have it together. I will humble myself before the Lord, which moves us right into verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Recognize that you have a need for the Savior. Recognize that he loves you. Recognize that you have shortcomings, that I have shortcomings. I have to pay attention to that. I don't have it all together. I will never have it all together until I see him face to face. Then I will be perfect because I will see him as he is and I will be like him. That's what Scripture says. And I can't wait for that day. I am more anxious for it than I've ever been. I am anxious for it. All this morning, I am telling you, this morning, I was talking to the ladies this morning, and we keep talking about being prepared. And I mentioned to them this morning, I don't know why, but last week and this week, it was all about being prepared. Be prepared. But the Lord doesn't really bring that up to you guys, and I'm wondering why he doesn't bring that up to you guys. Be prepared. I think because you're prepared. Because God has already prepared your heart. You have a heart to follow him. And you are preparing the way. And so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Can you see it? He's shadowing you. Humble yourself as you just are under that shadow of the Lord, under the shadow of his wings. He said, so many times I would have drawn you, but you would not. And I would have tucked you under my wing as a hen tucks her little chicks under her wing. But you would not. But I know that's not true of anybody in here. Because we get under the arms of Jesus. We are in that shadow of his covering. And we know of his love. So that he can exalt you at the right time. Exalt you at the right time. Ever met anybody that rose to popularity so fast that they couldn't handle it? Justin Bieber comes to mind. You know, and he's much too young for me to even enjoy his music. But what happened? He rose to stardom so fast, he has fulfilled his dreams by the time, how old is he? 19. He has fulfilled all of his dreams, and he's only 19. Where else can he go? He is lifted up by all the people. He is encouraged by all of his fans. They're lifting him up to a place that he can't possibly remain. And this says that God will exalt you in due time. Right on time, God's going to lift you up. Right on time, there's going to be recognition for you. It's going to be right on time, not a second late, not a millisecond late. But he will exalt you. And then in verse 7, it says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And I've always looked at this, and I think about we cast out our cares. When you think of casting your cares before the Lord, do you, like me, often think of a big bag full of whatever that you drag along and you put it at the foot of the cross, and as you walk by, you grab it as you walk by in the other direction? Does anybody else look at it that way? That's how we cast our cares. But when I was studying this and reading over it and looking at it, this is what I saw. I saw some hands that's casting out seed. Casting out seed. Seeds of faith. Seeds of trust. That's what it means to cast our cares on the Lord. We are casting out those seeds of faith. It takes faith to trust somebody else with your problems. We've all done such a rotten job so far. I don't know why we continue to hang on to them. Casting them before the Lord. Those seeds that are planted because we just thrown them out. And we watch that grow. We watch that faith grow. We watch that trust grow. We watch that love grow. And we realize all of a sudden, you know, those things that I gave to the Lord, I'm not worried about them anymore. Because you see that faith growing. You see that trust growing up. So just think about those little seeds that are being thrown out there for other people to see the growth as well. And then we move on to verse 8, and we have, so be sober and be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. We're not talking so much about whether or not you drink. We are talking about paying attention in prayer. Remember last week we talked about in chapter 4, verse 7, we talked about being watchful in prayer. Be watchful in prayer. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to the things that are happening. Yes, pay attention to the news. Yes, pay attention to what our president is doing. Pay attention in prayer and be vigilant about it. Take it seriously, not lightly. Take it seriously because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is wandering around for that little sheep that keeps wandering off at the back of the pack. They're not called a pack, I know that, but it works for what I'm saying. They wander at the back. They're laggers. You know what a lagger is, right? They're the ones, oh, yeah. And they're so distracted by everything that's going on. Yeah, look at that plant. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that sky. Oh, yeah, that's just, it's so beautiful. Where's my family? Where's the other sheep? There you are, all out there, all distracted. And the devil, your enemy, is seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour you. He wants to devour any love that you have for anybody. He wants to devour any confidence that you have in the Lord. He wants to devour anything that would remove that confidence, that love, that trust that you have in the Lord. But we're not going to let him do it because we're going to be sober, we're going to be vigilant, we're going to be watchful in prayer. And then the next verse says, resist him. This is the time we want to see those hands up. Resist the devil. Resist his attacks on you. Resist them. Resist him steadfast. How? In the faith. Remember, you've cast out those little seeds? You've cast out those seeds of faith. And they've grown up, and you are able to resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through something, right? Everybody's going through something, whether you're a Christian or you're not. But there is something that Christians are going through that some other groups are not going through. Some other people are not going through. But all of Christians are going through it. And it is something that is not unusual. That says right here, everybody else, all of the other brotherhood have gone through it at one time or another. But, verse 10, may the God of all of God's riches at Christ's expense, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, which Peter talked about in verse 1, who have called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's how he did it. By Christ Jesus dying on the cross. That's how he brought us into that glory. He brought us into the glory of God. After you have suffered for a while. Oh, does that really have to be in there? After you have suffered for a while. Did I tell you last week that my favorite verse in all of the Bible is it came to pass? It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. All of those trials, all of those challenges, all of those things in our lives, and all of the really great stuff too, will come to pass. It's not there to stay. It's only the eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus that will remain. And then I went to the English Standard Version and the New Living Version on this as I read on it. May the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, may he restore. If you have a New King James Version, it says perfect. But in these other translations, it says restore. And isn't that what needs to be done with us? We need to be restored. We need restoration. We need to be restored by God. May he establish or support you. Have you ever been in a place where you just need somebody to hold you up? I just need somebody that will hold me up in the midst of this. And he says he will do that. He will strengthen. The God of all grace will strengthen us. And he will settle us. That is, he will give us a firm foundation. A firm foundation. It's the most important thing of your life is to have a firm foundation. Because you can't build anything on a sandy, faulty foundation. And you can't build any good foundation on the sand. Ask anybody on the edges of the beach who are losing things because they built their house on the sand and they were beautiful houses. They're beautiful places. And do we sometimes build beautiful places of our life, but our foundation is on the sand and not on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, may he restore, support, strengthen, and give you a good foundation. And then in verse 11, it says, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever, so be it. That's what the word amen means, so be it. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now in verse 12, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him. I don't know what went on with Silvanus, and I probably should know what went on with Silvanus because he feels like he needs to say, this is how I consider this person. You might not like him at all. You might not want to be near him at all. I don't know if this is true. This is just my own conjecture on this. But he says, I consider him as a faithful brother. He's been faithful, a faithful brother to me. And that's how he spoke kindly of another person. I have written to you briefly. Remember, we talked about how he is to the point. And you see, even in this chapter, he is to the point. He's right to the point. He's a man of few words, exhorting or encouraging and telling you my testimony that this is the true grace. This is the true riches at God's at Christ's expense of God in which you stand. Can you stand in anything else but the grace of God? You absolutely cannot. We stand in the grace of God. And verse 13, she who is in Babylon, that is the sister church who is in Babylon, elect together with you, doesn't want to be any division there, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. You know who Mark was. He was the one who left the group at a very important time. He left, he ran off. And you know that Paul and Barnabas had this big argument about who should take Mark with him, and Barnabas befriended Mark and took Mark to one direction. Paul went to the other direction. And we see how Mark grew because someone took him under his wing. Who are you caring for? Who are you drawing under your wing to bring them to Christ? Who is it that you have in mind right now that you're going to bring to Christ? Greet one another with a kiss of love. I say greet one another with a holy kiss. And the reason that I changed that little bit of thing there, when we lived in Australia, and especially when we talked to our Irish people who we went to visit, they would always give a little kiss on the cheek. And we went to their house one night, and we were being greeted, and it's very important to pay attention to which way somebody is turning. Because my husband turned the wrong way with the lady of the house. And it wasn't on the cheek that they kissed each other. And so you really paying close attention, be watchful, pay attention, be sober, be vigilant. Pay attention when you're getting that holy kiss there. And then we have the peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you all the way in Christ Jesus? Because if you're on the fence, I want you to know the devil owns the fence. Are you all the way in? This is the sign language for in. Are you all the way in with Christ? Are you in Christ? Is he in you? Are you so involved with him? Are you in Christ Jesus? And so here we have a lesson that Peter taught us. He taught us by what he had already learned. What will we take from this? What will we take home today from this lesson that we can use today? I am praying that it is that we would be sober and we would be vigilant and we would be watchful in our prayers, that God might receive the glory. Because he's the only one that's worthy. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word, your faithfulness, your love, Father, for the way that you minister to us so beautifully. Lord, that for your strength that we have, for that foundation that we have in you. Thank you, Lord, that you restore us and that you strengthen us, Lord, and that you settle us. The only place we can really settle in is you. Lord, help us to be completely and fully in you, completely in you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray as the ladies get into their small groups, Lord, that they would be blessed as they minister to one another through prayer, through the study of your word, Lord, and that they might be honored by honoring you and one another. I thank you, Lord, for the crowns that we receive that we can throw at your feet. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers, take up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.